It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with some NFL injury updates. At 2:30, why do December 5th and 6th matter? Johnny Football's birthday, which begs a question about his pro failings. In a mere minutes, we speak with the co-founder for Horns with Heart, an organization that is about to change the NIL landscape for Texas football and eventually college football on the whole. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. A lot of football on the board, including coaching stuff. It is going to be Mario Cristobal at Miami. Manny Diaz is out. Cristobal has confirmed he's going back to his alma mater. He was an O-lineman there, if you don't know. Brent Venables was announced as Oklahoma's coach today. They've already got pictures out there of Brent Venables with Oklahoma stuff. And today is press conference day in South Bend, where Marcus Freeman has been officially announced as Notre Dame's new head coach. So a lot going on at big programs around college football. Marcus Freeman quoted us, among other things, as saying, "I better be the lead recruiter in every kid that we recruit, and I plan on doing it." So a lot of so now we're at Oregon that needs a new head coach, and I'm sure they'll fill that one pretty quickly. There are some Chip Kelly rumors out there. All right, Trey, let's get to this NIL discussion. Some interesting ideas at different schools, different places trying to take care of these athletes now that they can take care of them in even more new and different ways. Let's talk about the new one here in town.
Yeah, that's right. This has been hinted at by the great folks over at Inside Texas for a week or so now, and it finally came to light today, about an hour ago. It is called Horns with Heart, and it is something that is not only important for the sake of the University of Texas taking advantage of the NIL allowances that now exist across college sports, but especially in football, and something that's really going to benefit this university and a specific position group that is in desperate need of help on the field right now. And joining us to fill us in on the details of what all this means and why it's a great thing for the community as well is one of the co-founders of Horns with Heart. His name is Rob Blair. Rob, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm excellent. How are y'all?
Doing great, thank you. So just for a foundation of everything else we'll be talking about this segment, what exactly is Horns with Heart?
Yeah, so Horns with Heart is the first ever charitable NIL deal or NIL entity. We are a nonprofit group working fully pro bono with all of our donations going directly to the athletes and our charitable causes.
So in terms of how this will work, Rob, as I first heard about this, there was a specific focus maybe for the offensive linemen involved. Is it focused on one particular position group, or is this for all Texas football players and all Texas athletes? How does all that break down?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing that you mentioned about the offensive line, that's our first initiative. It's called the Pancake Factory, which, you know, fitting name. Who doesn't love some pancakes? But the first initiative is going to be the Pancake Factory, which is going to sponsor every scholarship offensive lineman at the University of Texas to the tune of $50,000 each, which is $800,000. And that's going to be annual and perpetual. So, you know, a kid can sign here and expect to receive that Pancake Factory money during their time here on campus. But eventually the goal is to do this for every single position group, as well as every single sport, especially women's sports. You know, something kind of near and dear to our hearts is making sure that, you know, things that might not have the visibility can get out there through charitable and positive means.
Rob, how long have y'all been working on this for? This is incredible, and I'm guessing this is something that will become a sort of standard across college sports before it's all said and done. We're very happy and proud that it's happening here at the university, first and foremost. Just how long have you guys been working on this to make sure that all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted?
So we have a great group. So it's myself as well as six board members, and we're across all different walks of life, from tech lawyers, obviously, accountants, money people, you know, and we happen to, you know, be really blessed to have such a strong group. And we've been working basically since the NIL law was passed. We realized that at the time that there, you know, there wasn't that many people out there doing good with the NIL. It seemed very, you know, kind of for selfish means. And so we wanted to come up with a way that we could give back to the community, allow these athletes to get paid the money that they deserve, as well as make a positive impact, not only in the Austin community, but the communities at large, including, you know, for instance, the offensive line here, you know, being able to go back to their hometowns and give a positive message and feedback was crucial for us in any venture that we did.
And Rob, while there are probably some schools out there who assume that the NIL thing just meant that kids would be selling T-shirts online, universities like here at Texas are treating things much more seriously, in part because we know that we have that built-in advantage, not only in terms of the revenue that's brought in by the athletics department each and every year, but also having so many bright minds at its disposal to brainstorm, to come up with legal ways to make sure that the kids who are giving those blood, sweat, and tears to not only get an education here at Texas, but also put in that sacrifice on the field as play as well, are truly taken care of. I assume that this has the university's full blessing right now. I'm guessing that's a part of the process, too.
Of course, that was one of the most crucial parts when we were developing this is a positive reflection on the university. You know, it's easy to do some kind of social media deal and, hey, tweet this out and here's $100. You know, this is something that we can create long lasting that'll have a positive impact, will reflect, you know, positively on the university itself. That was our number one goal besides helping out the athletes.
Talking with Rob Blair again. It is called Horns with Heart. I'm assuming, Rob, when I see at Horns with Heart on Twitter, that's you guys?
That is us. You can also find us at hornswithheart.org. On there, if you want to get connected to us, we have a connection page at the bottom, as well as you can read a little bit more about, you know, kind of what we've been doing and where we intend to go from here.
Okay, so when you describe this as a charitable NIL deal, and then just let's stay with the Pancake Factory thing, the offensive linemen being able, we're talking about scholarship offensive linemen being able to essentially get paid. So I don't know if this is a rude question for me, but I'll give it a shot. In terms of, like, is it weird for me to ask where the money comes from and then how it is sustained? Has all that been figured out?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we've received charitable contributions from many donors, okay, including the Clark Field Collective. If you've been paying attention to that news of the
gotcha.
$10 million that they've already raised, they've also been a big contributor to the Pancake Factory.
Okay. Then also, you mentioned that local level. Talk to us about that. So if I'm a, you know, if I'm a badass left tackle at my high school right now, and I'm a junior and I'm working my way up, talk to me about how Texas will benefit, I'll benefit, and then you're talking about trying to help these local communities too. How does it all tie in together for these O-linemen?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for the offensive linemen, obviously we can't do anything with them based on NIL laws until they're on campus. But once they're on campus, we really want to get involved with these kids and what they're passionate about. You know, if there's, you know, we have an offensive lineman, you know, say from Jasper, and he wants to go back out and, you know, really wants to do a flag football camp for kids. Absolutely. That's something that we could approach. You know, if somebody really wants to build a Habitat for Humanity, that'd be kind of the perfect thing. 14, 15 big offensive linemen building a house together, and, you know, benefiting the community at large. And like I said, not just Austin, which obviously will be one of our main focuses, but really the areas that are important and the areas that need it. You know, with this NIL stuff, you know, I think there's a big perception of, especially, you know, any kind of Power Five conference football player as being, you know, kind of the flashy diva types, where, you know, some of these kids come from a really tough backgrounds, you know, so it's great for them to put their blood, sweat, and tears into it and just get out, you know, and everybody kind of sees these big flashy numbers, especially when you're talking about getting to the NFL. But, you know, I think there's only 5% of college football players that actually get into the NFL. And, you know, that paycheck's not coming. So after signing day after their eligibility's done, their senior year, you know, we really want to find an avenue that they've already made a positive impact in their community. And we can even help them, prepare for life after football. Not just in terms of having something pretty and nice on your resume, not just having some money in your bank account, being able to make a lasting impact in your community and what you did, and especially what you did with your time at the university, because it is so finite.
I'm not totally sure what the rules are on all of this. So if I guess the rule is that you haven't spoken to anybody because that's the rule, then that's understandable. But have you had a chance to speak with any of the current offensive linemen within the Texas program about this? And if so, just how excited are they?
Yeah, we are able to discuss with them, same as any kind of agency or business with a prospective employee. So we are able to talk to them. They're extremely excited. This is a big difference for them. We found out that the NIL money that they made last year, and it pales in comparison to this deal. Honestly, it's not much above their university stipend. So being able to put some real money in their pockets while making good, it can't be seen as anything but positive, except, well, maybe everybody except A&M. They might not find a lot of money. But.
Yeah, that is, and you're right. That's a huge part of it. And the other thing I think, Rob, that's important here is, I was saying it to Trey during the break, I don't think there's anything more team-oriented about a football team than an offensive line. And the idea that, and the fact that you're also going to be, I'm assuming expanding this out, like you talked about, to different position groups, different players, and then eventually it's different sports as well. But just with those offensive linemen, they don't always get the thanks. But they're so crucial, so important, and to get those guys this kind of support, that is a big deal. And then obviously the point down the line is going to be to attract those recruits to this NIL situation, just like a lot of other schools are trying to do.
Yeah, and I can't speak to the recruiting aspect. That's absolutely secondary, and we're not able to influence any recruitments. But being able to impact the guys that are already on campus is huge for us, and like you mentioned, these guys, they're always wearing helmets. You don't see a bunch of linemen on Wheaties boxes nowadays. So, being able to put their faces out there, given the publicity they want, especially based on, how important they are to the football team, it's crucial. Everybody wants to go and sponsor Bijan, and why wouldn't you? He's terrific. But, Joe Thomas, I can't imagine ever ended up on a Wheaties box, and he's the best left tackle of all time. So giving them the credit that's due is very important for us.
Well, Rob, we really appreciate everything that you guys have done in making this happen. This combined with the Clark Field initiative, I think, is making it as enticing to come to Texas just from a financial standpoint, even though that's obviously not being used during recruiting, as exists in college sports right now. So thank you for all of those efforts and continued luck and the successes on this front. This is not only great for the kids who are coming to school here to get an education and also to play sports, but also for this idea of giving back to the community and making sure that's something that they're also evolving as humans, is understanding how to give back to those who are maybe a little bit less fortunate than you or I.
Absolutely. And any way we can positively benefit the community and the athlete, it's kismet for us. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah, that is good stuff. Rob, we appreciate the time today, man. Best of luck with everything. Again, if you're on Twitter, @HornsWithHeart. Any other thing you want to let people know about in terms of how to, kind of find out more about it?
Yeah, hornswithheart.org. We're also on Instagram, @HornsWithHeart. As well as we have a Facebook page, Horns with Heart. So we're not hard to find. You'll be able to find us if you look with it. But I appreciate you guys' time. If I can ever do anything, don't be afraid to holler.
Awesome. Thank you, Rob.
You got it, Rob.
All right. Hook 'em, guys.
Hook 'em.
It's an interesting idea, and it's a fantastic name for that part of it. The Pancake Factory? Well done. Well done. Horns with Heart, @HornsWithHeart. Check that out. It is the NIL discussion, and it's part of it, Trey, where in the initial run of this idea, a lot of the detractors would immediately go to, oh, well, that's only for the biggest names. It's only for, what are you talking about? That's only for the big time quarterback. It's only for the big time running back. And what did we find out when NIL got started? Oh, well, what do you mean pole vaulters are making money? What do you mean gymnasts can make money? Then you start following it through and you realize in certain realms and certain sports, it's like, oh, yeah, no, they can figure out how to utilize their own particular gifts and their own particular sellable items. And with offensive linemen, I mean, he said it right there. If you can get, you're setting these guys up these donations coming from boosters and things like that. So the booster can truly be the role they should have been all these years, where mm-hmm. we've been faking ourselves out of this system and pretending like certain things don't exist. But also, like he said, then turn around and send those 10 or 12 guys out on some community project, and the community sees that whole thing, then everybody benefits from it. That's a fantastic idea.
Yes, it is. And you knew it was only a matter of time before somebody was able to figure out a way to make sure that the guys who help support the biggest stars would also receive some sort of thanks in terms of finances. And I'm just glad it's Texas that's the first one to really start to figure this out. There are plenty of other big-name players who had the potential to do so, but I'm not at all surprised that it's Texas guys who determine this part of it. And you watch. There are other programs who are going to try and institute some version of this in the next 6 months to a year.
The other thing, and obviously there's careful language, as people can hear, that has to be used about this can't be used in recruiting or whatever. There's a difference between it can't be used in recruiting and it can't be known in recruiting.
Yeah, maybe Steve Sarkisian won't be able to answer specific questions about it when he goes and pays an official visit to Kelvin Banks and his family on Friday night. But you know that the Banks family
right.
will have a really good understanding of what's going to happen and how he is going to benefit in his bank account if he decides to commit to Texas. And as soon as he sets foot on campus and starts playing football next fall, he will be a beneficiary of what Horns with Heart and with this Clark Fuel Initiative have to offer.
Okay, wait a second. Walk me through why this would be bad, though. Sark walks in the living room. It's an offensive lineman sitting on the other side of the coffee table. And the offensive lineman says, "Hey, coach, what's going on with NIL at Texas?" Sark can't put one pamphlet down in front of him that says Clark Initiative and one pamphlet in front of him that says Horns with Heart?
I don't know. We would maybe need to ask somebody else about that. I don't think he can get into saying.
He didn't say a word. I'm saying he can't bring information with him?
I don't know. I don't want to.
I don't either, but I'm wondering why wouldn't that be a part of it? I mean, I'm just saying if we're all finally being adults here.
Maybe what he can do is slide a card for somebody in compliance that has a phone number and an email on it and say, "Look, I can't answer these questions, okay, but this person here can."
Because if I'm a badass whatever and you come to my house to recruit me in a company and I ask you what your company's doing in the community, what's your company doing with charitable stuff, what's your company doing, you can tell me all that, right? Hey, we got this, we have donors, we have beneficiaries, yeah, and you'll get this, and you're going to get a little extra bonus because blah, 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 blah. You can let me know all that.
That's true.
Right?
Yes.
I would think so. That's going to be an interesting angle on how it all works. But there you go. Horns with Heart, and one of their first kind of initiatives, if you will, does focus on those offensive linemen. The Pancake Factory. So I know if I'm a badass O-lineman and I come to Texas, I'm going to end up, I'm a scholarship O-lineman, I end up with $50,000 a year.
And it might be plus $100,000, too. I need to
depending
go back and read the
Clark
details.
Yeah, right. Depending on the Clark Initiative thing, right, or the Clark, right, whatever, Collective, whatever they call that. Now, Trey, you do realize that if things don't change, this could also open up the possibility of the sentence, if you're going to get paid X amount of dollars, you need to block better. You do realize that, right? If the offensive line level stays the same, that people will just add the NIL to the joke. You realize that, right?
Boy.
They're going to actually have to block better.
You know what?
That's part of it, right?
It's not getting better on its own right now.
You get that?
We need to bring more talent in. So, yeah, let those jokes fly.
And hopefully this will help that discussion we talked about where Texas gets more guys that get to play instead of getting guys that have to play on the offensive line. The Pancake Factory, which will be a part of At Horns with Heart. Thanks to Rob Blair for his time today. Interesting times in college sports with NIL and all these coaching carousel news items we have today. We're trying to knock all those off for you. We'll get back to that. Stems and Seeds, we got injury updates in the NFL as well. Week 13 concludes with the Patriots and the Bills tonight. Plus, we know the two semifinals in college football. Do you like it, or did you want to make Alabama and Georgia play again? Trey's kind of on that side of it, and I kind of agree with him. Coming up next, it's December 6th and a little bit of the 5th and why it matters to us. We got one big Heisman birthday with a question hooked on to it. We'll get to that, plus a freak has a birthday and a comedian Trey and I both like too, and a device in the kitchen I think we both like. We'll hit it all on the horn.
Shirts and skins.
Trey's got some new music. It hit on Friday. Bringing it to you on a Monday. You waiting for vocals there? What do you got? What do you got?
Well, this is a collaboration between Gypsy, G-Y-P-S-S-I, and The Verve, which used to be a good band, but not a whole lot here other than a basic guitar instrumental.
All right, I always mess it up. So is The Verve freshman or is The Verve Pipe freshman?
Verve Pipe is freshman.
Verve Pipe is freshman. The Verve is the other band. Okay.
Bittersweet Symphony.
Bittersweet Symphony is The Verve. Verve Pipe is freshman. I never get that straight.
I feel like they ended up having to pay some money to the Rolling Stones for the instrumental they used on that one, too.
There's been a couple weird stories in music about the Stones either getting or having to pay money, and I never understand it. Like, one, that one, they got money, and I didn't get it.
Well, I feel like they got money. It was a tiny amount. They're like, we just wanted you to acknowledge that you used our stuff, and feel free to continue using it now.
Right. Just a little bit. We just need a little bit. And that's kind of the way the Sheryl Crow people ended up with later on when the Stones, without knowing it, took something from her, they thought, and they had to pay her a little bit.
Oh, really?
Which I didn't hear it, but then again, I wasn't a Sheryl Crow. Not Sheryl Crow. Katie Lang. It was a Katie Lang tune that they kind of borrowed, and I didn't quite hear it at first, but after listening to it, I'm like, I guess.
Okay.
Kind of a cousin, and they had to pay a little bit. All right, there's some new music for you. Gypsy and the Verve getting together. The Linda Lindas have been on the show today. Band of Heathens and St. Paul and the Broken Bones have some new stuff out there, so you may want to check it out. Great gift idea for Christmas. Just get somebody some new music. That is always good. Also, remember last week we talked about the Austin Chronicles Holiday Guide. That is out there, austinchronicle.com. Check it out if you need some holiday gift ideas. All right, Trey, let's get them December 6th and why today matters.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All righty, just makes me feel old now to consider it's almost there. He's not quite 30, but he is 29 this year, and I never think of it, Trey, until I see it, that it's Johnny Manziel's birthday on December 6th, but he is 29 years old. Are we really that old?
Manziel's,
Manziel's 29.
What do you think he's doing to celebrate his birthday today?
Oh, I don't know.
Because he's so, I don't even want to say those with any sort of confidence. Didn't he say that he had sobered up recently?
I don't recall if those were the exact words.
Gotten a handle on things?
I have been told by a decent source in College Station that depending on the day and the restaurant and the karaoke schedule and the amount of margaritas available, my man might show up and buy a round or two. Now, could he do that and drink club soda? He could. I'm not saying he doesn't, but I've been told that if you're at the right place at the right time in College Station, you might find your drink and everybody else's drink paid for by a Heisman Trophy winner.
Did your source tell you which song Johnny Manziel prefers to sing when he gets up there to karaoke?
No, because they've never been lucky enough to actually be there.
Ah.
They know people that have been there, but they've not been able to chronicle which song. I wondered that too.
So we're going 6 degrees of Johnny Football here in College Station.
Like, what does Johnny Football want to sing? What is his – like, he loves Drake. We know that because that's where the hand sign came from. It's not money. That comes from Drake. And so we know he's into Drake. Outside of that, I don't know what Johnny likes. But, yeah,
I bet it's something like Living on a Prayer.
Oh, God, that'd be great if it was.
Or Don't Stop Believing.
So as much as I would hope maybe Johnny cleaned up if that's what he needs to do, I'm going to guess that's not exactly the case. But at 29 years old, I started asking myself last night, and this is me as an Aggie kind of asking it, but like, of all Heisman winners in my life, who did less with their NFL opportunity than Manziel? Because if you want to use it, if you want to phrase it that way, Jason White doesn't even count because he didn't get an NFL opportunity.
Well, when you consider how high he was selected, and my goodness, the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones had to be talked out of drafting him.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. Thank you. Forget Jerry. Thank you, Steven. Thank you, Steven, for doing that.
But when you consider how high he was selected, he may be the biggest bust.
Right.
Like, Jason White did less, but wasn't there an injury issue at play there? Like, teams were skeptical of his ability to stay healthy?
Right. Jason White was never drafted.
Eric Crouch was selected with the intent of him playing as a position player by the Rams.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever saw the field in the NFL, but Johnny Manziel was taken in the first round and expected to be a franchise quarterback for the Browns.
But based on draft position, I think you're probably right. And then my extended question is, do you think his lack of success in the NFL is what will ultimately lead to him never getting like a statue and that kind of recognition at A&M? Statue, retire the number, whatever you want to do.
Maybe, but I hope not. I'd like to think that 10, 15, 20 years down the road, cooler heads can prevail, especially maybe it's one of those things where they're waiting for him to not make news in the wrong sort of way for an extended stretch before they decide to go there.
Maybe.
Like you're mature enough now that we're not going to have to take this statue down in 5 years because you're continuing to act like a jackass.
Yeah, because I know there are some people that go to College Station now and they look around and they see Jimbo or they see all I see is Johnny. It's all I see. Every time I go there, I think, this is Johnny, man.
What do you mean?
Everything that's there now, the improvements, the growth, the energy.
Okay.
It started with him.
Okay.
He's the source of that.
That second Lanes location?
I think that probably. Yeah. By the way, there's Lanes coming to town. Did you hear this?
Yeah.
We got three locations
coming
here.
There's one in Katy, really close to my brother's now. They said it's not quite as good as the College Station locations, but I'm willing to give it a try.
Oh, I'll give it a shot. In addition, Trey, on the birthday front, we've got Stephen Wright is 66. Yeah, you and I are both into like weird comedians, offbeat comedians. Before there was
irreverent.
Before there was Mitch Hedberg, and I loved Mitch, rest in peace, Stephen Wright was my favorite, like, what am I watching kind of comedian here. Such a great commitment to his bit.
Yeah, he has an esoteric value about him that just resonates with me. So happy birthday, Stephen Wright.
And I forgot, I was reading up on his bio. I had forgotten until I rewatched in the last year or so, because I think we did it on the movie review, but his role in Reservoir Dogs, like his DJing, is it Reservoir Dogs or no? I'm sorry, not Reservoir Dogs. Pulp Fiction? Where is he the DJ? Is it? It's one of those kind of. It's a Tarantino flick, isn't it?
DJ,
where he's the DJ. I think it's the Reservoir Dogs. Doesn't he lead into Ooga Chaka Ooga Chaka, the Hooked on a Feeling? Isn't that Stephen Wright?
I don't know.
Okay, look this
I'm
up.
I'm not recalling what you are referencing.
I just read it last night. Now I've realized I screwed it up. Okay, so I'm gonna have to read it. But anyway,
Stephen Wright was the guy on the couch in Half Baked.
Still never
seen
Half Baked.
He was the guy on the couch.
I still need to see Half Baked.
Mm.
How have I not seen that movie? You said that's the one with, what's his name, right? With Bob Saget?
Dave Chappelle starring, yeah. Bob Saget's in it. He makes a cameo.
He's the cameo that you talked about when you interviewed him. What am I thinking of? Where did it go? And now it's not going to be there. It's going to be really sad when I can't come up with this. Really sad that I brought it up. Quentin Tarantino's from Reservoir Dogs, yeah. Yeah. He's the radio DJ in Reservoir Dogs.
I don't even remember that. I've only seen that movie once, and it was for our movie review this last year.
You never see him. You just hear the voice.
Ah.
So happy 66 to Stephen Wright, one of my favorite comedians. Had a birthday yesterday. Margaret Cho was 53. Always loved Margaret. And Trey, microwaves get their own day today. National Microwave Day. Could you live without it?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You could get along.
There's only one thing that I make with microwaves, and it's very labor-intensive. It's these no-fat potato crisps.
Uh-huh.
But again, it's very labor intensive to the point that I haven't done it in 3 or 4 months. And it's the only thing I cook in the microwave. If I'm heating something up, I'll usually go stovetop or oven.
Wow.
Just take a couple extra minutes.
So not only are you a food snob, you're a microwave snob?
It's not a microwave snob. It's just understanding that it's an uneven cook or an uneven heat up that you're getting with the microwave versus throwing it in a pan or into the oven for a little bit.
So you're taking the time.
Yeah. It's just about taking the time.
You value the heat. You value the evenness of the heat.
Look, we've become a society that just needs our fix right now.
I disagree.
That's just not reality.
I completely disagree.
We don't need something reheated in 10 seconds.
We take our time all the time. I don't know what you're talking about. Are you not on Twitter?
We can take a minute or two, and if you can't take the minute or two, just eat it cold.
Dude, people are letting everything slow burn. I mean, it takes days on Twitter to get reactions.
Even back when I was a fat kid who couldn't wait for that next terrible for me meal, Chad, I would at least take the time to take the Hot Pocket out of the package, out of the cellophane, and put it into the oven for 10 to 15 minutes versus throwing it in a microwave for 2 minutes. You know why? Because I tried the microwave with the Hot Pockets, and the Lean Pockets too for that matter, and there would always be that ice cold bite in the middle of the scalding hot bites that let you know this probably isn't a good way to be cooking my food.
So two things. A, I am now reminded of why some of my bites of Hot Pockets were bad, and B, nice weird brag to throw in the Lean Pocket. Like, that made it better. That was well done. That was really well done. What was your favorite Lean Pocket? Because I just stayed with Hot Pockets. I went with ham and cheese and pepperoni. What was a Lean Pocket? How is that defined?
So they did a lot of the same flavors. I'm guessing they were just using skim milk cheese or something.
Sure they were.
Well, yeah, or so they told us.
So it was just a leaner pizza.
Yeah, I was saying that honestly to mock myself because I was trying to qualify my fatness by eating Lean Pockets from time to time. Like, that was going to make that big of a difference.
I will say your consistent heat theory probably worked better, and you burned the inside of your mouth a lot less than I did because it was bizarre, man, with that pizza and ham and cheese. You'd go like 5 bites and you're fine, and that next bite was straight from the center of the sun.
Yeah. Exactly. It was total guesswork from bite to bite. And the funny thing is, like, say you're reheating leftover pizza, which it takes like 20 to 30 seconds in the microwave, and that one you could probably get fairly consistent. It's so good if you do it right on the stovetop, and it literally only takes 2 or 3 minutes. It's not like it takes a half hour.
My wife's just really onto this air fryer thing now, and she's doing that. I can tell she's doing that as a reheat more than a microwave.
Oh, man, we have not had success with the air fryer because it's not a ton of space, but something like that, it does make a ton of sense.
Yeah, she's into that. All right, coming up, stems and seeds, some NFL injury news, and we'll see if we can cover all the coaching things that have happened in the last 24 hours. Big-time schools filling jobs, and we've got one big-time program out west, specifically if you're talking about money and influence, that still needs a coach. Who's it going to be? We'll talk about it on the Horn. Got more new music for you to round it out. What is it, Trey?
A collaboration between Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine and I guess this is the name of the band, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. The song is called The Maze.
And the Wilderness or In the Wilderness?
In the Wilderness.
Oh, even better. In the Wilderness. I like that.
This kind of sucks. Something's happened with Tom Morello in the last few years. He is not as edgy as he used to be.
He's lost his rage?
I guess so.
He's
got some anti-establishment newsletter that you can subscribe through the New York Times now. Which is
weird.
About as establishment as it gets.
Yeah, okay, that's true. That's strange. Speaking of Tom, I haven't watched the whole ceremony for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I found it interesting that Tom Morello inducted Randy Rhoads, the late Randy Rhoads, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Randy was the young guitar player for Ozzy back in the day and died tragically in 82, one of the stupidest deaths we've ever had in music. Just awful loss of talent for the dumbest of reasons.
What?
It's a plane crash where the pilot was trying to buzz the tour bus and wake up the drummer. It's just the stupidest story in the
what?
World. What? Yes, it was stupid. Totally stupid. And then I'm reading last night, Randy got on the plane with the idea that the guy wouldn't do it. There were two different flights, and he got on the plane because he thought there was a woman on the plane where the guy's like, no, no, I'll just do a regular flight because she's on the plane. So then Randy jumps on because he wanted to take his camera to take aerial photos for his mother. It's like, really? We couldn't make this story worse. Just a horrible story. And by the way, the last thing supposedly Randy Rhoads said to Ozzy Osbourne was, if you keep going like this, it will kill you in terms of drinking and drugs. Thankfully, Ozzy didn't die. But that was the last thing Randy said to him, apparently.
Well, that's ironic.
Ozzy in 82, hardcore. Hardcore. So rest in peace to Randy, and congrats on the Hall of Fame. And then, yeah, Tom Morello, put him in. Kind of interesting sometimes who they have crossover to induct folks. All right, let's get you stems and seeds, some NFL notes coming in out of the end of week 13.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. So, Trey, yesterday, John Harbaugh decides I've got to go for two. Afterwards, he explained that lack of cornerbacks was a big reason. And today, we find out kind of the end of the story.
Yeah, Marlon Humphrey. Marlon's a safety, isn't he?
He is. I see him listed here as a cornerback.
Oh, maybe he is a cornerback now. Marlon Humphrey's out for the year. He has a torn pec,
ugh,
which always makes me cringe to hear about that injury. Going back to, what was it, 2010, 2011, 2012, Texas seemed to have a rash of torn pec injuries. But yeah, Marlon Humphrey, who is one of the best at his position in football, will no longer be playing this year.
Yeah, he was trying to tackle Deontay Johnson on one of his touchdowns, and that's when he tore the pec, they believe. Deontay Johnson finally making plays for Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes.
He's dropped a ton for him, but boy, he's playing well recently. And I say recently, yesterday, he played well and helped them to at least have a little life and playoff opportunity.
Yeah, coming out in a major way yesterday to help the Steelers beat the Ravens. And another injury in the NFL at the wide receiver position. This guy's missed a lot of time this year after signing a big free agent deal in the offseason, coming over from the Tennessee Titans. New York Jets wide receiver Corey Davis will miss the rest of the season. He re-aggravated what they were calling a groin injury at the time. I'm guessing it's maybe an adductor injury, perhaps a hip flexor injury that he is truly dealing with, but he aggravated a core injury to the degree that he's going to require season-ending surgery, which is unfortunate because that dude was an underrated playmaker for the Titans this last year. Now he's going to have to wait 9 months or so to prove himself once again with the Jets.
Speaking of the Jets, Philly beat him yesterday. Trey, I know I'm supposed to hate him, but I find myself rooting for Gardner Minshew. Did you catch that act?
You hate Gardner Minshew. You're lame.
I mean, there's something about that. Did you see the video of him hugging his dad in the parking lot?
He is young man's Ryan Fitzpatrick, is what he is. He came in dressed like a guy in Top Gun, like an extra in Top Gun.
Yes.
And then after the game, to see his interaction with his dad, who apparently tries to make each and every one of his games, that was special, man. He felt really good for Gardner Minshew and just what he was able to do on the field yesterday. It was fun.
20 of 25, 242, two touchdowns, no picks. His rating was 133.7.
Now, the Eagles are saying that when Jalen Hurts' ankle is healthy, that he is this team's starting quarterback.
Ah.
Would we be surprised if Jalen Hurts' ankle was injured for one more week after this one? Or maybe for the rest of the season?
Yeah. I mean, that's you got to seriously think about it, man. And I know it was against the Jets, and you'll see how it works. But, man, that's good stuff. Minshew's was a great story from yesterday. The NFL seems to provide a lot of those. Any other injuries we need to hit the NFL?
No, but I do need to hit the outro music.
All right. Marlon Humphrey, that is big for Baltimore. And they slipped down to the 3 seed, if you missed it, off of that loss yesterday. So guess who's number 1 in the AFC right now, kids, based on tiebreakers? That's right. The New England Patriots.
Go Bills.
Another reason to root for the Buffalo Bills. Despite my pick of +2.5, I am hedging my bets because I want Trey and Isaiah to be right, because I do not need to see the Patriots win this game tonight. Go Buffalo. That is Monday night to finish out week 13. Then we'll transition to week 14, including the Cowboys at Washington. Cowboys fans, if you haven't come to the realization that team is on fire right now and that they could beat your Cowboys, I'd get comfortable with that idea. I know what they call me because of these kind of statements, but I'm just trying to be real. All right, RBKD coming up next. Enjoy the Monday lineup as well, including Vic Schaefer and Longhorn Weekly at 7 and Soccer Matters at 8. Instant Serious after that.